It's my privilege to welcome you today to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we will have the continuation of the title, Seek the Lost. This is going to be program number 184 in our series. We began this message in a previous broadcast, and today we're going to conclude it. The message entitled Seek the Lost Part 2, as presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. I do hope that you will stay with us for our program today. As usual, you will, I'm sure, receive some new insights and a real blessing from the message that God has given Pastor Phipps to give to us. Before we begin our message for today, we, as usual, have some very special music. Here's a song entitled, I Promise to Love You, a song written by Wendley Phipps.
All of my life, I dreamed of a home and someone to call my own. Now I've come here to say, I want to build my home in you. Lord, hear my prayer, I promise to love you. Live my life in heaven's joy, I promise to love you. And give you my all, I promise to love you. Share the secrets of my heart, I promise to love you every day of my life. I stand by your side, and I give you my hand. I pledge to you I'll be the kind of man who will try to live like heaven is my home. Lord, hear my prayer, I promise to love you. Till the stars refuse to shine, I promise to love you. I pray you'll be mine when I need someone to share the seasons of life. Lord, be there, I promise to love you every day. My life, I promise to love you. Cherish the day I saw your face, I promise to love you. With each breath I take, and in that morning when it turns, I promise to love you till the end of time. I promise to love you each time I call your name.
Instead of being contented with the sheep who are safe, every day Jesus is climbing rocks, looking behind brambles, I tell you, said Jesus, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. I'm convinced that if we're going to be faithful to the life, example, and teachings of Jesus, I'm going to tread on some toes here for a minute. I'm convinced that if we are going to be faithful to the life, example, and teachings of Jesus, that all who feel that they are in the fold are going to have to work to seek and save the lost. I am convinced we can no longer sit around in the safety and security of the church and talk about all those bad people that the poor shepherd is chasing after. Are you listening to me today? I am convinced we cannot stand back and lament over how wild it is out there, how stormy it is out there. Those sheep who have been saved, like you and like me, must dedicate ourselves like Jesus to both seek and save the lost. Someone said, Lord, open our hearts to care about the lost. Lord, give us eyes that look upon other people with compassion. Lord, give us ears that detect the pathetic bleating of some lost sheep. Lord, help us detect the weary sighs, the unhappy outbursts. Sometimes when people act the fool, they just need Christ. They don't need you beating up on them. Are you with me today? Lord, help us to see those who want a way out of damnation and danger. Help us to hear their cry. Help us to tenderly bring them back to you. You know, in the parable of the lost sheep, I'm preaching this morning, and I'm moving kind of fast. I got a lot to cover. You pray for me today. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd left the 99 and went searching for the one lost sheep. And sometimes we who serve the Lord have to leave the 99 in the pews around us and go out in the highways and hedges searching for lost sheep. We cannot forget that while we were fighting against him, flaunting our disobedience before him, that the good shepherd came looking for us.
Thank you, Lord.
We can't forget that while we were lost, deserving of divine displeasure, that the good shepherd came looking for us. We can't forget that while we were yet sinners, the good shepherd persevered in his tender purposes towards us. I'm just glad that Jesus came looking for this one little lamb right here in this pulpit this morning. I'm so glad that Jesus came looking for me. I'm so glad that his love was steadfast, dependable. I'm so glad that no sacrifice was too great, no hardship too severe to keep this good shepherd from coming looking for me. I'm so glad that our good shepherd could not be deterred. He said, neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor power can separate us from his love. I'm so glad that he risked all danger and that he would let nothing keep him back from seeking and saving the lost. So little lamb, today God is looking for you. Today God needs some of his little lambs to join his search and rescue mission. He needs to know that some of his little lambs have not forgotten, hear me today, that they have a responsibility to seek and save the lost. Now, church, I don't know why, but God has so structured it that the path to our salvation is the path of selfless service to those who are lost and forgotten. If you think you're going to make it to heaven by giving your life to Jesus and forgetting about the loss, I want you to know you've got to think this thing through again. Too often we see our primary responsibility to the lost sheep as preaching to them and praying for their salvation. But today, God needs sheep that are burdened for the lost and the forgotten, so burdened that they are not going to wait for the sheep to come to them. But they're going to carry out the Lord's command. They're going to seek out and work to save the lost. Now, you know, as a church, we know a lot about saving the lost. We know very little about seeking the lost. Are you listening to me today? You see, the commission is to seek and save. We know a whole lot about saving. We know very little about seeking. We do real well or pretty well with those who show up at our church door. We are burdened for sheep who respond to our advertising. The sheep who, and maybe you've heard this logic. We blame those who get our flyers, sometimes poorly printed, and don't respond to them, and say, if you are lost, it's your fault.
That's right.
Because you didn't respond to our advertising. We do pretty well with those who show up at our church, though. We are burdened for those who respond to our advertising. We are accepting of sheep who respond to our flyers and our tracts. Oh, I'm stepping on some toes this morning, but I'm preaching the truth. We know how to lead with printed materials, but we got to learn how to seek the lost. We need to go where they are. Instead of sitting smugly, waiting for them to come to us. And if you don't come to us, it's your fault that you're lost. The Lord showed me this week that many of us have become, take this home with you, Beltway Christians. Every day. We Beltway Christians commute around communities in crisis. We're Beltway Christians. We don't even want to see the lost. So we take the Beltway. We are Beltway Christians. I want you to take that home with you. We have forgotten that our responsibility as Christians is to seek the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and what?
Save.
We as a people have taken the save part of that commission seriously. The time has come for us also to take the seeking part of that commission seriously. So the Lord says that it was Christ's joy. Listen to this. It was Christ's joy to help those in need of help and to seek the lost. Christ had joy going looking for people who were lost. She says, help me, Lord. All heaven is interested in the work of saving the lost. And angels watch with intense interest to see which ones of us will leave the 99 and go out in the storm. Angels from heaven are looking down to see which ones of us understand that we are not just about saving, but about seeking. Hallelujah. And which ones of us get up out of our warm pews and go looking and seeking the lost. And listen to this. I came across this and this shook me. This shook me. The reference is HP 100. Son of God says, listen to this. By all that has given you, that has given us advantage over others, whether it is education, refinement, nobility of character, Christian training, religious experience, we are in debt to those who are less favored.
Say
every blessing, every advantage that God has given you has made you a debtor to those you commute around. You are in debt to those who you have been more blessed than they. And so she says, as far as lies in our powers. Oh, I'm challenging the church today. I said I'm challenging you because you don't get this kind of message every day. You know, we come, we sit down, we sing. We give a dollar. We praise. We go home. We eat fancy dinners. Beltway Christians. Commuting around communities in crisis. Commuting around the lost. She says, as far as lies in our power, we are to minister to those to whom we are indebted. We are to minister to those. We are to stay up the hands of the weak. Angels, she says, are always present. We are to seek to save those that are lost. We are to search. And listen to this. Thank you, Lord. I got this from Review and Herald. She says, we are to seek to save those that are lost. We are to search for the one lost sheep and bring him back to the fold. And this requires personal effort. Requires you to do something out of the ordinary. She says, we must think, listen carefully, we must not think of such a thing as discouragement. We must hold fast to souls by the grasp of faith. Do not, listen, do not give up those for whom you are working. Yes, yes. 15 years ago, I couldn't preach this message.
Mercy. Help him, Lord.
Because I didn't understand it.
Lord, have mercy.
But I'm a different man.
Praise it.
I'm a different kind of preacher now.
Help him, Lord.
I understand. This week, I was down, I'm working, doing some work in Ward 8, near a project, a development that the city couldn't do anything with. So the drugs were so rampant. All they could do was shut it down. Even the name was kind of strange. It's Condom Terrace. Ward 8. Washington, D.C. And they told me about a little boy. Must have been about 5 years old. Didn't have shoes. And so that little boy got some newspapers, drew out and sketched out his foot, stapled newspapers together, and made himself some shoes. When he got to this community center where our center is, they couldn't believe it. I told them, I want to meet this boy. Anybody that creative. 5 years old. Making shoes from newspaper. They got a little money and went out and bought that little boy some shoes. And I want to tell you, I ask the question, where are we?
Mercy.
Where are we? How do we ever touch a child like that? What department of the church does that kind of seeking come out of? It's not an issue of what department. It's an issue of your heart. It's an issue of my heart. When are we going to get up off of these padded pews? Stop commuting around communities in crisis. Stop being Beltway Christians. And understand that God called us to seek as well as to save. Help me, Jesus. Oh, I can't miss this. Servant of God says, go out into the mountains and seek the lost sheep. They may run from you, but you must follow them. They may run from you, see you come and go the other way, but you must follow them. Take them in your arms, bring them to Jesus. Pulpit effort, what we're doing here, should always be followed by personal labor. See, we got a lot of pulpit effort, but we don't have enough personal labor for the lost. And this is one of my favorite quotes because it challenges me, from Desire of Ages, page 825. Christ intends that his ministers shall be educators of the church in gospel work. Did you know that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to challenge you. We're supposed to educate you. And they are to teach the people how to seek and save the lost. That's our work. And God forgive us, because the greatest temptation that ministers have is the temptation to keep their members happy and not challenge them. It is the biggest temptation to just keep you happy, keep you shouting, keep you saying amen, keep you smiling. And whether we help you and challenge you to seek and save the lost, servant of God says, how many of our ministers are toiling to fan the spark of life in a church that is getting ready to die? You know some churches like that that are just getting ready to die. You know some churches like that that Dr. King said, when you walk in, you can almost skate down the middle aisle because it's so cold. Says, how many churches are tended like sick lambs by those who ought to be seeking? So get up off of that padded pew. Ask God to give you a new mind. We've built comfortable pews, haven't we? And we put up signs on the outside of our churches saying, any lost sheep reporting will be taken care of. Isn't that what we say? Today God is saying to the sheep in his fold, when are you going to seek after that which is lost? Well, before I close today, I got to tell you about one more thing. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Folks often say, Pastor, you're throwing away stuff I'm supposed to hear. And yeah, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. There's a story of a Scottish traveler in Palestine. And don't you worry, when you try to seek, the sheep will hear the voice of God. They'll recognize his voice. One traveler thought he would do a little test. He got a shepherd to change clothes with him. He wrapped himself up in the shepherd's clothes, and the shepherd put on his clothes, and both of them stood up calling out to the flock from different directions. The sheep followed the voice,
yes, sir,
and not the dress.
Yes, sir.
So it really doesn't matter what you dress up like to go seeking for sheep. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. So don't worry about what you don't know or what you don't have. If he speaks through you, they'll hear his voice. And they'll follow. When many shepherds come with their flocks to the same well, and you should see it. It's an amazing thing. When 5-6 shepherds bring all of their flock to drink out of the same well, the sheep never get mixed up, because every sheep knows his master's voice. And one time in Scotland, a shepherd was asked if his sheep would follow the voice of a stranger. And this shepherd said, yes, but only if he's sick. This shepherd said, never when they are well. He said, a sick sheep will follow anybody. Why you think those people are just so hard to reach? They're following anybody. Sick sheep will follow anybody. Sometimes that's the shepherd has to take the sheep, and the shepherd does not drive sheep. He leads sheep. He's always out in front. He's never there. And that's a strange thing. And that's why Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Before I close, I've got to tell you this story. A traveler was talking to a shepherd about the sheepfold. The sheepfold is where the sheep are gathered and held. And the shepherd was explaining everything to him. But there was one thing which puzzled this man. He said, how come the sheepfold that holds the sheep has no door? And the shepherd answered, because I am the door.
Amen.
You see, when night came, the shepherd would wrap himself in a blanket and lay down across the entrance to the sheepfold. No sheep could get out, and no wild beast could get in except across the shepherd's body. So when Jesus said in John 10:7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He was saying, little lambs, I'm your defense. Trust me.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 184 today, which will give you the title, Seek the Lost, Part 2. Join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your